Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Portland public affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. Joining us this time on Metroscope is Cheryl Bickle. She's the principal and lead teacher of the nonprofit Community Transitional School, Portland's pre-K through 8th grade school for children whose families are homeless or in transition. Cheryl was actually the first teacher hired at CTS when it started back in 1990 at the Portland YWCA. She currently teaches a combined 3rd through 5th grade class along with being principal. CTS helps its at-risk students develop the academic and social skills and character strength they need to succeed in school and in the future to break out of a life of poverty and homelessness. The school's purpose is to provide these at-risk children with a stable educational environment that promotes their personal and academic growth. And today we'll discuss the founding of the Community Transition School, the people it serves, the coat drive that's going on, how you can donate, and much more. But first, Cheryl, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to have you here. So let's start with you. You were the first teacher hired at CTS back in 1990. So tell us a little bit about how you originally got involved with the school.
Well, I was living in Seattle, and my family was moving to Portland. My husband was already here. He had taken a job with Sequent, and he heard on the radio that there was going to be a new school it was presented as a partnership between Portland Public Schools and the YWCA, and I thought, well, that sounds pretty, like I have had some experience working with homeless children, and I applied for it, and that's how I got the job, and I was the first employee, and when we started, we had nothing. We had bare rooms. I thought we were on the second floor of the YWCA in small little rooms that along a hallway, and then we had a playground on the third floor. It was an outdoor. Of course, there was a fence, but if the balls went on the Safeway next door, the balls just always stayed on the roof. And then, of course, it got to be the people down below had to watch out for the balls coming over the side. But that was the start, and we were there for 5 years, and then we moved out of that building, and then we became our own private nonprofit in 1998, so we could focus on the mission of the school entirely.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading on your website, and again, for anyone interested, you can check it out, transitionalschool.org. They have a couple different tabs up there. You can learn about the program, find out where to donate, check out photos, and a little bit about the school itself as well. I'm sure all of these topics are what we'll dive into today as well. But tell us a little bit about kind of the foundation of the school. And I know reading on your website, you guys have moved buildings many times before finally settling in. It looks like in 2007, 2008, you bought your own piece of land and you'd been able to kind of stay there ever since, if I have that right. So just tell
right.
us a little,
we did.
Tell
we
us a little
bought,
bit about that.
We just got tired of moving around. As the school got larger, it was harder to find temporary housing for the school. And we were looking around, and we talking to an architect who was looking at different spaces with us, saying how we could transform them to work into a school. And he said, you know, this is really expensive to do any of that kind of renovation for a building that's not even yours. You know, why don't you try to build your own? And so I thought, well, I never really thought about doing that. And then I saw a piece of land. I was coming home from Costco. I live in Northeast Portland. And I was going on the part where it goes into Killingsworth. And there was this piece of land on the corner for sale. And I called and they said, the land is sold, but the last day for the deal to go through is tomorrow. This was on a Sunday. And so on Monday, they called and said the deal fell through. And then we made the offer. And, of course, we had not raised one penny. Hmm. And so then we had to really scramble in. We raised the money and built the school in 18 months. And that was really, but we had a lot of help from the community. And really, the community has always helped our school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's because people do believe that people need a helping hand. They need someone to help level the playing ground for them, especially if they're a child. But also that education can make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It is a key.
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree with that, mm-hmm. and I can totally see where you're coming from there. Cheryl Bickle, the principal and lead teacher of the nonprofit community transitional school in Portland, pre-K through 8th grade, are the children who go there, ages 4 to 14 is kind of the general age range. Tell us a little bit about the children who CTS teaches, because I think this is really cool what you guys do. These are children who come from families who are unstable or don't have reliable housing at the moment, or maybe are just getting into reliable housing. But tell us a little bit about these children that you guys serve.
Well, they're kids that live all over metropolitan Portland. Our buses go to downtown, and they go a bit into North Portland, and they go all the way out to Gresham. So it's really on the east side of the river primarily, except for the downtown area. And the kids move typically they enroll in our school when they don't have permanent housing. They maybe are in a shelter, or they're maybe living in a motel, and they move from motel to motel. This year we've had the largest number of kids living in their car, their automobile. And or they also go in amongst all those places, and then they'll start maybe staying for 2 days with a friend or a family member. So there's no really stable kind of housing. And so the advantage of our school is wherever they move, if they just call by noon, if they're moving today and get us the address by noon, we will go there tomorrow and pick them up. So they don't really have to miss school.
Okay. Interesting. And how do these students get enrolled in your program?
Well, over the telephone. The parents find out about the school or the shelters, or that will give them an option of going to the neighborhood school, the shelter, or our school. And they will call, and we just enroll them over the phone. Occasionally, a parent will come in and see the school ahead of time. But most of the enrollment is over the phone, and the first time the kids come to the school, it's their first day. They have no idea what the school looks like or anything.
Hmm. And the school's located 6601 Northeast Killingsworth Street,
mm-hmm.
In Portland. 97218 is the zip code there. And are you comfortable with me handing out the phone number and the email?
Sure, that's fine. No problem.
Okay, so 503-249-8582.
Mm-hmm.
503-249-8582. And then the email is ctschool@comcast.net. Again, their website is www.transitionalschool.org. And you can even check out their Facebook page, Community Transitional School, on there. I guess a natural follow-up to your last answer is, you talk about some of these students who get enrolled over the phone and who are living at a friend's house or living on the street or living in their
mm-hmm.
car. I
mm-hmm.
mean, how do you guys try to kind of help accommodate their families with, or them with, shelter? Or how does that work? I mean, I think what you said earlier, which is a great effort, is you pick them up from wherever they're at so that they can make it to school on time in certain instances. But yeah, I mean, how does it must be kind of, I don't know, odd to send a student home after school knowing that they're in a bit of a tough home situation. How does that whole thing work?
Well, okay, our main focus is to get the kids to school and to give them the skills that they will need to survive in, you know, their school life now mm-hmm. and also in the future. And so if you focus on all the problems that the family is, you know, may be facing, I think you would be really overwhelmed with it. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is just the kids come in, we get them right away assimilated into the classroom. As I tell any new student I get, you're only new one day. You're the new kid for the first day, and after that, you're not new anymore. Because no kid wants to be the new kid.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have not know anything. And I try to alleviate the stress by saying clearly when they're going to eat, where the bathroom is, whether they can go to the bathroom anytime they want to. Just so those things that kids really focus on, their little minds can only handle so much change, and they're not really thinking about academics right then. And then you know, after you get all the things, you know, we're going to have recess and we're going to do this, and when you've been here for a while, you can get a school-wide job, and homework goes home on Monday, and it comes back on Friday, and we have this, and we have Nike P on Fridays and Mondays, just different things so they get sort of a picture. Oh, this is sort of a regular school that has a regular schedule, and then we start instilling in them our expectations for them to meet our expectations that you're going to come to school, you're going to come prepared, and you can leave a lot of your troubles at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's very mm-hmm. well said.
And that's, you do worry about the housing. If we know a family's in their car, we'll make sure they have plenty of blankets.
Mm-hmm.
We also will try to connect them with different, people that are different groups that work with homeless families in their car to where they can maybe get into a real stable parking lot that they have now. But, and, you know, we can recommend somebody for a shelter, but they have their own procedures. We can give them the phone numbers to call, but we really have no ability to really get them housing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we really just try to focus on helping them, like if the mother or the father gets a job, then we will take the child to wherever the daycare is going to be, or pick up the child if the job is only 2 days a week. We have really flexible transportation. That's why we try, that's our big focus, to keep that flexible so the families can succeed. They can pull themselves together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, by no means meant it as a slight. I was just
curious. I know people have asked us, well, do you help them? And really, we're only, you know, we're just teachers. We're a school.
Right.
No, I wasn't thinking that you were slighting me. Oh,
for sure.
Not at all. But it's a natural thing. But we don't really have any resources.
Uh-huh.
Nor do we have anybody that we can say, could you please put this person on the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, there are homeless shelters out there for a reason. That's what they do. And you guys are
right.
The education part of it,
right.
Which is, of course, tremendously important, especially for all these students at a young age. Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that. When you get these young students and you bring them in, why is an education so important for these young people who are going through kind of a tough time?
Well, because if they start missing large gaps in school, the more they miss, the harder it is for them to be able to catch up and succeed in school. Mm-hmm. If you can notice it, like younger children who have had no preschool, that's why we started the preschool program, are really at a disadvantage when they go into kindergarten now. Because if they've never been in any kind of preschool, they have no idea. I mean, our kindergartens are pretty academic, and they just are already at below grade level, and they're only in pre-K.
Wow.
And so you want to really help those kids get the social skills and the academic and all the stuff that preschool is about. So when they go to kindergarten, you don't have to do that in kindergarten. Not that we don't do that, because we get a lot of Ks, kinders that have had no preschool.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do a lot of focus on that. And then you just try to do a lot of small group teaching. So So you can do skills, like if there's a, they can go between groups. If they really are a third grader, but they've never learned how to regroup in addition and subtraction. If you have a little small group of other like kids without that skill, they can learn that quickly in a small group.
Mm-hmm.
So you just try to accommodate, you know, to make your curriculum fit a population that has missed a lot of it at school.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is Cheryl Bickle, the principal and lead teacher of the nonprofit Community Transitional School, Portland's pre-K through 8th grade school for children whose families are homeless or in transition. She's been with the school all the way back since 1990. She was the first employee of the school, first teacher hired. And we're learning a little bit about kind of the students that they teach. And how about the education programs themselves? Tell us a little bit about the programs that you guys have going on that the students learn and go through. And what programs do you think you've seen have, the most impact on students over the years?
Well, I would say the one that really, I teach the third grade. And so what I see in my students, the one that's had the most is that we do, we teach reading by doing book group. Not necessarily in the first grade. They do a more traditional reading program. And second grade does too. But when they get to third grade, we break them up into small book groups and do literature studies, do novels. Because we really want them to learn that reading is something worthwhile. That you can learn a lot about the world. You can learn a lot about yourself. We spend a lot of time thinking about working with the kids to think about what they've been reading. And I think that has been, I've seen the biggest change in our kids' attitude towards reading.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's, we just call it book group.
Mm-hmm.
And they get their, they have a little, their own novel, and then, it's been successful.
Are they reading books from a school library, or are they all reading the same book?
Or? No, it's a book that we buy. Like right now, my students are reading Louisiana Going Home.
Hmm.
And it's a second, and they have Rainy Nightingale is the one they read first. And this is the second one, and so they're following up. And they're totally engaged in the story. It's a story that of the girl that they can really relate to. That's another thing. Not all the books can our kids relate to, but we try to find some that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can see themselves and maybe the struggle of the main character or the problems that are facing the character's family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was fortunate enough to grow up in a stable family, stable school system and all that, but I am curious what, I haven't heard a ton about CTS or even schools kind of like that in the Portland area. Tell us a little bit about kind of what makes you guys unique. And if you could, kind of localize it. I mean, I guess the natural way to localize it is talking about the students who you impact, who are in the Portland area. But yeah, talk to us a little bit more about CTS and kind of what makes it a unique nonprofit in our area.
Well, I think part of it is that when you come to our school, it looks just like a regular school. A school that's recently built, it's like 10 years old, our building is now. But it looks really, it's a nice space. It's not some places that nonprofits have are sort of, that we have been in different times, that are sort of dark. And I don't really mean it in a negative way. It's just a really bright, cheery place. That it definitely looks like a school. But, our kids can come here and they can leave. They don't need to be ashamed about being homeless or living in a shelter or living in their car. Nor do they have to, if you go to a neighborhood school, you can only be in that school as long as you live in that school district. So our kids can live in Portland Public School on 82nd in a motel and then move out to a shelter on 158th. Different school districts, but we can still keep them in our school because we're not tied to any one geographical area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think that is the biggest advantage, and the advantage that we have worked with this population for a long time. Like this is my 29th year, And the other teacher that I work with that has had a long time, she's taught with it, maybe she's taught 25 years with homeless kids. And then we have a very stable population of teachers that they've been with us a long time. The kindergarten teacher, I mean the first, second teacher, is maybe this is her eighth or ninth year working with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives a lot of knowledge of what to maybe do in situations.
Yeah, no doubt. And stability as well for some of the kids who are there as well. What does CTS offer students in addition to education, if anything? Do you guys provide lunches, or how is
that? Yeah, we have the free breakfast and lunch program, the USDA breakfast and lunch program. We have a dental van that comes two or three times a year that does free dental thing. A vision clinic that comes a couple of times a year and gets them some new glasses if they need it. We have different groups that come and work with them. One of the, I think, advantages is, like, there's a lot of retired teachers who will come and work with the kids, you know, in a setting. They have an after-school program, and so they can, for the older kids, they can be in the, sort of like, you know, an outside activity, like an after-school activity. We have it once a week. We have a volleyball team that the parents don't have to pay anything for. And we play in a league, and last year we came in third in the big tournament. So we send them to volleyball camp. So there's some advantages like that. I think the biggest advantage is we have an understanding of where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like you will water down the curriculum or you will change your expectations. It's almost like we have raised our expectations of the kids since when we first started in 1990.
Yeah.
We expect a lot more out of them.
How many students are in the school?
Well, right now we have 90.
Okay.
And so, but it fluctuates. I mean, could be 92 tomorrow. It could be 88.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And so how many, I mean, if it's pre-K through 8th grade, is that, you know, let's see, quick math, not great at math, is that, you know, more or less 10 students a class off the top of my head?
No, because there's big groups of it. Like, I teach the 3rd through 5th. I have the biggest classroom. I have 31 in my class.
Okay.
And then I think the 1st grade and 2nd grade, she has maybe 22. The middle school has 19. The pre-K kindergarten has 18. Now, that's off the top of my head. It could be, I don't think that would probably add up to 90, which I saw was on the lunch count today. So I can see, I have the bus list. So I have 31, one class has 20, and two classes has 19 each.
Okay.
So I think it's just my age group that there's a clump of kids always. I usually have the biggest class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I think the obvious question out there that our listeners would probably love to hear is, how do people get involved? How do people donate? And how are you guys funded as well? I mean, for all these ventures and lunches and just funding for the buildings in general.
Well, we have almost $1 million a year budget, and we raise most of our money through foundation and donor support. It could be corporate support or just individual private support. We get one Multnomah County grant for $67,000. And let me think. We raise that budget every single year. Well, every year it's gotten more expensive because, you know, price of gas, you know, compared to last year is more this year, but it's about $100,000 a year now.
Okay.
And we raise the money. We do rely a lot upon the community.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great, and then the community supplies the majority of our supplies, like crayons and books and paper and Band-Aids and all that kind of supplies. We have a wish list that they can choose things, and then different groups donate to our clothes closet so the kids can get new clothing. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes to get an occasional new outfit. It does a lot to your self-esteem. And that's how we raise the money.
Awesome. And transitionalschool.org/donate. You can check that out.
Right.
And again, different ways to communicate with the school there.
Right. And we have a volunteer coordinator. So if somebody wants to volunteer and work with students, she will meet with them and find out what their interest is and what and if there's any openings in that particular classroom.
Okay. Awesome. And I was just going to say one more time, the phone number, 503-249-8582, 503-249-8582, or the email ctschool@comcast.net, and the website transitionalschool.org. There's a donate tab on there. Well, Cheryl, this has been fun. Is there anything else that that you think we should get out there to the community, or have we pretty much covered it?
I think you pretty much covered it, and thank you for thinking of us. I really appreciate that.
We were talking today with Cheryl Bickler, principal and teacher over at Community Transition School in Northeast Portland. Metroscope is an Entercom Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.